with basically the well, there's a lot of different elements to this, but I'd like to start off with the local reaction and just get your thoughts on the local reaction to the controversy that happened in Virginia over the course of the weekend. The way, whether it be the governor or our Washington delegation, the way they reacted to President Trump, and just kind of get your thoughts on, you know, it's we're very fortunate that we don't have, you just, if you heard in the news, I mean, now in Dallas this is going on, they toppled another statue. We're not, this is one of those things where, to me, the train is coming out of the station. We're not sure exactly how far it's going to go. Last night, even Al Sharpton was saying that the Jefferson Memorial should come down. So there's no boundaries of where this thing could go. But I would be curious to hear your thoughts on the locals, as far as the governor and our Washington delegation, of how they reacted to the events over the weekend and President Trump.
Well, around here, it's kind of frustrating on our side of the aisle because it's so clearly just an opportunity for the local politicians to score some easy points and local groups to do some easy organizing of their people and have an excuse to have a rally. And it, as you point out, it's disconnected from us and it's distant. I mean, this is all obviously apart from the events in Charlottesville, but that's the sort of feel you get around here is, you know, all right, the people come out on a summer evening to have a rally and feel good about themselves making a statement. So there's, you know, there's no real challenge to what they're doing. It's just a way to keep their own sense of their, political righteousness going locally. And it's frustrating because I think in the long run, this kind of behavior can stoke divisions, keep us from actually resolving our differences in the long run.
I agree with you, Justin. And I also think that this gives ammunition to, you know, obviously Cicilline, White House, all of them. I'll say our Washington delegation, but especially Congressman Cicilline, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, Governor Raimondo to some extent boycotting the inauguration. Now, the events of the weekend seemingly have given them new ammunition where it's not even they disagree with his policies. He is a racist. He is in favor of white supremacists. He supports Nazis. He supports the KKK. I mean, it is so far out now that I think that the delegation that I mentioned, the Democrat leaders, they're going to me, start to turn it locally that anyone that is a Trump supporter, well, you know, you're a racist just the way he is.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's actually, I mean, if you pause and think back to the past year, there's nothing new in their insinuations about President Trump and voting for him and that association. That the events over the weekend in Virginia really kind of just gave them and the news media, which is a big part of this, a pretense to just reassert that insinuation, that allegation of racism. I mean, it's really amazing to me if you watch. Suddenly, it's as if the Antifa violence throughout the country never happened. You see stories like the other day in Richmond, there was a protest on the left to take down one of these Confederate statues, and a journalist was assaulted by these left-wing protesters.
Yes.
And all this stuff just doesn't even matter anymore. It's discouraging. If you read the local news reports, say, about the rallies of support or commemoration for the woman who died in Charlottesville or that sort of thing around here, they're quoting activists from Black Lives Matter, which has had marches where people are chanting about, you know, putting cops, pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
And they quote data from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has actually inspired people to go and shoot people at conservative groups, not even, you know, far right white nationalists or anything like that. So that they get elevated in order to make it seem like these far right groups are actually farther right than or the conservatives agree with them, and it makes us forget the context here. And that goes back to the arguments against President Trump's initial statement. To hear people talk about there is no equivalence. There's no equivalence to this group. Well, that's just not true. There are. Now, that may not be relevant to this event, but we keep forgetting, or the news media and the left would like us to forget, that there are groups that are dangerous on the left that hold these rallies, that were in attendance there for the purpose of fighting.
Yes.
So there are two sides here. We're in the middle of an escalation, and frankly, that's how I took the president's remarks on Saturday, which became so controversial. It was more of an attempt to de-escalate, and by sort of making it very specific to one side, that wouldn't have been de-escalation. I think it was right of him yesterday to come out and name the groups as he had been called on to do, but there's just too much willingness to stoke these divisions because people think that they're on the right side of history.
And not only that, Justin, now the other side is saying, well, he sent it, but he didn't mean it. I mean, when you reach that type of fever pitch, it doesn't get anywhere. But what I think what happened over the weekend, some of the speech and some of the talk and the groups that were there, you know, Joan Vernocchi in the Boston Globe has a good piece this morning. The First Amendment protects the speech we hate to hear. And she writes, hard as it is to accept, the right to express vile, repugnant, though, thought is guarded by the Constitution. What I find interesting is the moment President Trump took office, that weekend of that march and the gathering at the State House steps and, you know, Governor Raimondo, we're going to say no to this hateful man and say no to the hate. And when we had the Trump rally at the State House and the band was drowning out the speakers that wanted to support the president, and they were saying, you know, well, we wanted to drown out the hate. What's incredible to me is how much the David Cicilline's, the Aaron Ruggenberg's, and even Raimondo to some extent, how much they throw around that word hate. To me, they throw it around so much, it almost loses its value when you have actual horrendous, you know, vicious hate speech, which is the speech of, you know, the white supremacists and the Nazis and the KKK. I mean, those are dangerous people. But to me, it almost blends in because they've been saying, anytime Trump was saying, you know, we need to enforce immigration, they were saying, we need to stop this hateful man and stop this hate speech.
Oh, yeah. And it shows you the slippery slope of that. Being Christian, even the neo-Nazis and the KKK, they're people, and what you ought to want is for them to be sort of saved, you know, to come to realize the error of their ways. That's what you should hope for. And instead what we get is trying to tar everybody else with this brush, including the president. I mean, Kathy Gregg of the Providence Journal, Twitter is, I think, in some ways is awesome, but in some ways I think it's really a dangerous tool for our plaything for a lot of us. I'm included in this, but she retweeted somebody reminding everybody that in August of 1927, I think it was, President Trump's father was arrested as part during a Klan rally in New York City. If you read the old articles, there's no mention that he wasn't charged with anything. There's no mention that he could have just been a passing New Yorker who was swept up. But to bring that up over the weekend, really, it's an attempt, I think, to shut down arguments and discussion and to stop unity. And the reason they would want to do that isn't because there's a few hundred thuggish morons running around in a country of over 300 million people. It's because that gives them a political advantage with people who are much more reasonable and who are going to articulate policies that people actually prefer to the progressive policies that these politicians and journalists want to push.
Yeah, I had Joe Trillo on yesterday. And again, folks, we're speaking with Justin Katz, managing editor for OceanStateCurrent.com. I was even shocked that Joe didn't take issue. He was quoted, Amanda Milkovich did a story about what happened down south, and she actually mentioned the Trump rally where, you know, a group of people that were Trump supporters, and I was the keynote speaker, gathered at the State House in late March. There was, you know, it would have been peaceful, but they had tremendous police force there, and the speeches were drowned out by that band from Brown University, the What Cheer Band Brigade or something like that, and they brought drums and everything else to drown it out. And I even said to Joe Trillo, like, I find it appalling that she would even lump in the Trump rally or these rallies with what we saw take place in Virginia. And furthermore, I can't believe they're letting the governor of Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, off the hook. I mean, it's his state. That's where the statue is. They knew these people were coming in. On Saturday, the other side, the counter-protesters, the anti-fascists, they, as you said, they came dressed for a fight and covering their mouths, and they had clubs, and they were attacking journalists and everything else. And there was seemingly, like, where was the police? How did these groups kind of go at it? It seems to me, Justin, it was just an opportune time for people to really go after the president, and that's it. Going forward, labeled, I think, you know, President Bush, after the whole situation with Katrina and Kanye West had that moment of George Bush doesn't care about black people, President Bush never really came back from that. I think going forward, no matter what President Trump accomplishes as far as reforming health care, tax cuts, the economy is getting better, Wall Street is better, all those things, I think there is a portion now of the voters that is it. What happened, he might as well have been at the rally with the white supremacists the way he's come under fire with this whole thing.
Well, I think for those people of whom that's true, they were already there. They just needed an excuse to sort of come out and to be able to admit it.
Sure.
I think most people, and I think this is one of the reasons the president kept bringing up the economy in this context, because I think what he's trying to say is the economy is getting better. A lot of this aggression should die down when we're more prosperous. I think that's part of what he was trying to say. Whether that was appropriate is for others to judge. But I think if that kicks in, if we actually see some advances in policies and reform and healthcare and tax reform, I think most people are going to look at that. Because this other stuff is just so obvious.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw Politico over the weekend tweeted out a story basically complaining that the president had drawn this equivalence between both the many sides of the violence. And the picture they put on the tweet was that one is becoming famous of one of the black activists using like a homemade blowtorch
yeah.
to shoot at one of the Nazis.
Yes, yes.
It wouldn't even occur to them. Okay, we've got this story saying there is no equivalence about in the violence, and here's a picture of the equivalence right there. I think most people are going to pick up on that, tune it out, and as soon as the story moves on, they'll move along, and it'll become harder to bring this all back up again. Which is why it was important yesterday that President Trump come out and name the groups. I thought Saturday it was a pretty, I mean, when you're calling for, and a lot of the stories, even on CNN had a video clip of the Saturday remarks and said the complete video, and they cut it off before he got to the part talking about we need to have mutual respect
right.
and love for each other. And basically a lot of people who wanted to agitate against the president said, well, you know, not so much. We don't really need that respect and love. But it was important, I think, yesterday that he came out and named the groups, the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, mostly because they were trying to claim that he had supported them, which he hadn't. But also because it says, okay, now there, this has been said, this is where I stand very clearly. So now let's move on. And there'll be some residual, you know, agitation from the left and the news media about it, but I it won't have much purchase. Although it always makes me think of college, you know, being a conservative in a college classroom. Often we'd be having a discussion about something or other, and all it takes is one word that they could twist to make sound like it's you know, racist or what have you.
Sure.
And no matter how badly they have to twist it, that's
yes.
their excuse to sort of get out of the conversation.
Yes.
So there'll be something else at some point coming up. You hear a lot about, say, the George Soros groups funding this kind of agitation and the whole purpose. And we heard about it with the I'm blanking on his name, the video journalist on the right who caught Democrat activists talking about how they were sending people to start fights at Trump rallies during
yes,
the campaigns.
Right.
And so there are people out there trying to stoke these things and make them happen, and they will. But I think over the long term, as long as things can go relatively smoothly, you know, as long as strong talk against North Korea continues to have the effect of causing North Korea to back down, as it might be expected to do, I think people will, they want to see results. They want to see life getting better. They don't really, most people I don't think really want to get involved in this whole culture war thing.
One last question about this, and then we are going to talk about folks also, Paul Sox in the news and Gordon Fox is even in the news. But, you know, it is interesting that when you hear about the Klan, especially. I don't know about, you know, Nazis or white supremacists, but any pictures of that, it was, you know, the whole thing of the hoods, and you can't tell who's under the hoods, and, you know, these very frightening photos or videos of them down in the South and having these torches and the bonfires, and they're all wearing the hoods. What was a different dynamic was on Saturday, it was the white supremacists, the Nazis, the Klan members, they did not have anything covering them. And then the anti-fascist counter-protesters who went to fight, who destroyed Seattle, who out on the West Coast had done, you know, $100,000 worth of damage, saying, hey, listen, you know, it's perfectly acceptable to damage private property as long as it's for the cause. They're the ones hiding and covering their faces. It's I think we're in a different time where the group that were out there, they were not covering their faces at all. They were marching for all to see.
Right. Well, I think for a lot of them, the white supremacists, a lot of them, they're pushing back against the man, so to speak. So they see themselves as this rebellious group, and so they're proud to be seen. I mean, they look like fools,
yeah.
And a lot of people are rightly using social media to sort of find out who they are. That can go too far as well, but. From their perspective, they're standing up for something. Whereas the on the left, they really have to maintain this illusion that they're the peaceful ones, having the peaceful protests.
Yes.
Where you know, we've been hearing this for months, and it was getting, this is why I think there was so much kind of relief almost in the mainstream media about this incident, because it was getting difficult to sustain this thing. Oh, a mostly peaceful protest of progressives, you know, when only $100,000 worth of damage and only a few journalists were beaten up.
Right.
You know, it was getting kind of hard. So now they've got their relief valve for the moment. But that's why they hide their face. And a lot of them probably are paid agitators to
yes.
be there.
Yeah.
And so that if given the strength of the internet, one of the great advantages is you can find people, and that like the progressive or the Antifa guy who I forget where it was, he hit somebody over the head with a big bike lock and assaulted him, and they found out that he was a professor at the local college or had been. So that can happen now, and so as these Antifa people start popping up in the same pictures all across the country,
yes,
then it would become kind of obvious what they're doing. So they have to cover their faces; they've got a lot to hide.
You know, before we take a break, if you take away the murderer in the car in that whole area, other than that, it was just a street fight. Even though a lot of the white supremacists, the Nazis, the kid, they were apparently all armed, it just turned into a street fight, and it did look like a war zone, but it came down to that. We're going to ask Justin to hold on just for a moment, folks, when we come back. Interesting comments about Larry Lucchino and the Boston media about the Paw Sox in Rhode Island and also Gordon Fox. But I want to remind you, the hazy, hot, humid days, hey, they're coming. Let JKL Engineering design and install a Carrier Infinity system for your home or business today. These Carrier systems, highest rebates in the market. They're quiet, they're energy efficient, and you could save over 50% on your energy bills just by having JKL. Replace that old system you have, JKL Engineering. They specialize in complete commercial rooftop systems, design to the ductwork, installation and service. Replacements of these units can be done in a matter of hours, as well as the ductless bus systems. Call JKL today for a free estimate. Financing is available. 351-7600. Hello, Bendy. 351-7600. JKL Engineering. Listen, I want you to be nice and comfortable in your home or your place of business. Call JKL Engineering today at 351-7600. Folks, good afternoon. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Now, President Trump is expected to speak in the 3 o'clock hour, 3:45. We do plan to carry it. Also, where does Rhode Island rank as far as retiring? I'll give you a hint. We're not considered one of the best states to retire in. There's a new poll that just came out. We're going to speak with a representative of Wallet Hub coming up at 3 o'clock. Interesting story in the Woonsocket Call. Boy, things got a little tense last night at the council meeting. Interesting idea of what someone told someone else to do with an umbrella. We'll bring that to you, and we're going to come back a lot more with Justin Katz, managing editor of the OceanStateCurrent.com. It's all ahead on the John DePietro Show.
Worry less with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, thought you were going to be stuck at the repair shop with your car for a few hours.
I did too, but Liberty Mutual saved me from that nightmare.
Liberty did what?
Yep, with Liberty, I can get a repair estimate right on my phone. I just took a few photos of the dent and hit send. Now I just have to worry about getting the kids to soccer on time.
Wait, kids? Soccer? I gotta go.
Oh, bye.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can leave worry behind when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Availability varies by state. Other restrictions apply. Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company.
Well, folks, good news on this Tuesday. The Hometown Advantage is back at Chapel Grill in Cranston. That's right, now through September. Chapel Grill features 39 Rhode Island cities and towns. You come to Chapel Grill the week your town is being hosted, you receive 25% off your food bill for up to four guests. Think of that. It is tremendous. Up to 25%. And this week, Chapel Grill welcomes. If you live and can show a driver's license, you have to, you just one person in your party, that you are a resident of East Greenwich or Exeter. Well, eat in the dining room, 25% of your food bill for up to four guests. It's the Hometown Advantage at Chapel Grill in Cranston. That's right, Chapel Grill. Available in the dining room only. You go to chapelgrillri.com for the calendar dates to see when your city or town is next. Chapel Grill. They feature unparalleled value, variety, winner of several best awards. Now also tonight, Tuesday night, flash sale, all entrees starting at just $15. Wednesday, Burger and Local Brew, $12.99. Thursday, Ladies Night with $5 martinis. And Friday, half off the bar menu, 4 to close. Live entertainment and dinner for two is just $49.95. Of course, Sunday, the award-winning brunch buffet and complimentary valet, Fridays and Saturdays. Located Chapelview in Cranston. For the calendar, Hometown Advantage dates, go to chapelgrillri.com. Remember, this week, the Hometown Advantage, if you live in East Greenwich or Exeter, stop in a Chapel Grill, eat in the dining room. One person, just one of your party, has to show driver's license, proof of residence, and up to four people receive 25% off your food bill at Chapel Grill. Stop in, take advantage of the Hometown Advantage. The food is delicious at Chapel Grill. There they are in Cranston.
He tells it like it is. He's John DePietro on 1540 WADK.
All right, and we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It is John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. Here I am, 1 to 5, AM 1540, and it's WADK. With us, managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com, it's Justin Katz. Hey, Justin, Providence Journal has the story. Former speaker Gordon Fox returning to Rhode Island. He's going to be in a halfway house in Pawtucket. I'm just curious, you know, this type of thing, it's another reminder of the corruption. I'm just wondering, and again, if you have any inkling as to what line of work do you think that someone like a Gordon Fox might end up going into once he finishes his time. He's been in federal prison for quite some time now.
Well, I understand he got his start at an ice cream parlor, didn't he? They may still be hiring.
I did. I don't know.
I don't know. You know, there's Rhode Island is, let's say, very forgiving of corrupt politicians. So
yep.
I'm sure he's got some stuff lined up with the, you know, doing legal work. I don't know if there are rules against that if you're convicted of something, but lobbying. He could definitely do some lobbying.
Yeah.
Maybe prison reform would be a specialty. Look, Gordon Fox is not going to be hurting in Rhode Island. It doesn't happen. I mean, if he's associated with all the right people, and they take care of each other. So at some point he'll just, you know, quietly start, you know, back on a smooth path, probably not trying to get too much attention, at least for a long time. But I'm not concerned that he'll have any trouble finding something to do.
I think you're right on the lobbying. Let's keep in mind, you know, he did plead guilty. He, for all intents and purposes, kept his mouth shut, even though there was certainly speculation that that was not exactly the person they were going after. He did serve 3 years in federal prison. But people need to keep in mind, you know, he never really had to answer questions regarding the whole 38 Studios. Bill Murphy, the former speaker, was his attorney. Fox also received that famous standing ovation when he returned to the State House. Justin, I would not be surprised. He still has a lot of goodwill up there. I fully expect in some capacity he will be a lobbyist at the Rhode Island State House, because that is the contingent that in some ways he still has some, you know, chits to kind of cash. And you know, there was no booing. He didn't feel embarrassed going up there. They, even though they raided his office and raided his home, he was, when he went to the State House, they were all hugging him and wishing him well. And in some ways, I know it's crazy, but he seems like a stand-up guy because he kept his mouth shut.
Yeah, well, in a state like Rhode Island, where government takes so much control of things, there are so many ways to those connections that he has are valuable. And if he did any protection he offered to others and taken their rap, that's only going to make his leverage a little stronger going forward. So that's just the way the system goes. I mean, maybe some investigative journalist will find something that is politically distasteful in a year or two, such as, you know, the Montanaro free tuition thing. And there'll be some embarrassed, you know, pulling back from that. But we don't really punish those folks who go away for this sort of thing in a real social sense. They don't come out and like most of us, if we were to spend, I mean, 2 years, you mentioned at the beginning of the program how it's the middle of August, right? And who can believe the summer went so quickly? I'm sure 2 years in prison seems a lot longer than that. So, you know, he has done his time, but most of us, once we've gotten out, will still face a lifetime of overcoming what we did. I mean,
sure,
these halfway houses like he's attending are intended to partly help people with that. He's a guy who doesn't need that. I mean, he's going to be, you know, doing his job searches and such while he's there. And I'm sure things are lining right up for him.
You know, just two other items. And one is Larry Lucchino, the whole element of the Paw Sox is still alive. He did an interview with a Boston media outlet this morning, and he said, listen to this quote, Justin. This is Larry Lucchino now, who, you know, was with the Red Sox, who now left there, and he's leading the effort of the Paw Sox. We're in the midst of Rhode Island politics, which is always a challenge. We're waiting to see if there'll be a fall session of the legislature, at which time they would pass enabling legislation to allow Pawtucket to build the ballpark. Now, from what I understand, now that Worcester is really kicking the tires, I believe they've also come out and said, you know, they don't want a lot of public financing. But what I find interesting about this is, you know, Larry Lucchino, who I think is very diplomatic, he chooses his words very carefully, but that is something that carries a lot of weight. And you have all those business owners, you have a big platform, you know, the Red Sox are doing very well right now. We're in the midst of Rhode Island politics, which is always a challenge. That is that to me just reinforces, Justin, the attitude and the perception that people have of the state. And I don't see any evidence that the Speaker and or the Senate President have any interest in changing that image as far as legislation.
Oh, no. And there's kind of an irony of that in that. If you I think it's the Worcester Telegraph,
might be
the name of the hometown paper there.
Yep.
They had a story recently, and they interviewed the Senate Majority Leader in the state legislature there, Harriet Chandler, who's from Worcester. And she actually said, you know, it sounds great, but who's going to pay for it? And this is the quote that I most like in this whole story. She says, we just don't do that, meaning state of Massachusetts just doesn't pay for people's stadiums. Of course, somebody from, I guess, the city council called her up, and she called back the journalist and said, well, let me revise that. I don't want to say I was poo-pooing it, but it's quite a contrast. Here he's complaining about being in the middle of Rhode Island politics, but Rhode Island politics is what's allowing him to even get this far.
Yes.
And that's a problem. We don't need to make it easier for these sort of crony deals to happen. We need to make it harder. So that is not even a question. Once you can almost feel for the guy. He's in here trying to work the system.
Yeah.
That's just how it works in Rhode Island. And here we are messing it up for him. But we need to get out of that system where you need to go. There shouldn't be anything political about it.
No.
It ought to just be the market. And if the market will bear what they're selling,
yep,
then there you go.
Yes.
I mean, even Massachusetts, even with when they felt they were at risk of losing the Patriots, they didn't, I believe they didn't pay for the stadium. They did infrastructure improvements around the area, which I'm
correct.
Sure directly helped the stadium.
Yeah.
But they didn't jump in and put it on a bond. And that's the Patriots, the New England Patriots. And here you're talking a little, you know, a secondary baseball club. You know, that's the image you want, is that place that you want to be, and they'd love to have you, but they're not gonna bend the economy over for your benefit. And Rhode Island, unfortunately, has that reputation. And so, if it's a bad thing that we seem to have a difficult political environment, let's just take the politics out of our economy, and we're much better off that way than trying to make politics easier to do in Rhode Island.
And this is, you know, Lucchino, who I said, you know, I think he couches his words very carefully. He's met with the governor. He's met with Paul Salem of Providence Equity. You know, he's got a big hedge fund guy. He's got some of the wealthiest business owners that have come out of here, whether it be Terry Murray or Tom Ryan. And he's got the governor on board. That there's no way that they can be happy about it. But everything she's tried to do, and his quote is, we're in the middle of Rhode Island politics, which is always a challenge. You know, as someone who I spent 3 hours interviewing Kurt Schilling, and his first choice was obviously to do something in Massachusetts, not Rhode Island. Massachusetts wouldn't give him what he wanted. And I find it interesting you were quoting, you know, the person from Worcester that said, we just don't do that here. You know, Schilling reluctantly took the deal to Rhode Island, saying how corrupt, how bad could it be? And then, you know, he told me in that big interview last fall, he found out firsthand just how corrupt and how bad it could be. So I think it's interesting. And people, Larry Lucchino, you know, he runs in a lot of circles. And Terry Murray is certainly plugged in, and Tom Ryan is plugged in, and then the guy from Providence Equity, Paul Salem, is very plugged in. These are people that they're players in New England, and as I said, I don't see, you know, the governor can talk about free tuition at URI and put her name on every sign in construction, but Mattiello and Ruggiero, I don't see them. You know, they haven't passed anything that would make it more business friendly. My final question for you is, now tonight at 5 o'clock, WADK is going to carry the debate. A week from today is, in fact, a special election for Senate President Teresa Pivoweed's seat. Now, it's an interesting dynamic on the Democrat side, because the very progressive candidate won, not really the endorsed candidate, former Senate President Teresa Pivoweed. She was with the Democrat that lost, and he's not even endorsing her. And said he has no plans to, because he might run again. I'm just wondering if you feel the events over the weekend could have some impact on this local election.
Well, they certainly could. I mean, as we mentioned during that discussion, the left and the Democrats around here use this sort of thing to rally their people.
Yeah.
And that's really what... It's kind of an awkward dynamic in state, local state house races, because we often send people to state houses with the instructions, go get us stuff. But it really should, representing that district's policies and statewide policy and statewide law. And that really isn't what the progressives do. They isolate groups within, you know, minority groups or other special interest groups, say labor unions, and go say, send me to state house and I will be another voice trying to get you stuff from your neighbors and everybody throughout the state. Whereas Newport, especially, if you look at data from the census in 2000 to 2010, you can almost watch as people working to lower middle class people exit Newport. Mainly to Portsmouth, Bristol, and Tiverton, nearby areas that were a little bit more reasonable. And that's a real indication that the statewide policy needs to change. And I think if we have that discussion on the merits, people will tend to agree and vote in that direction. So what we'll get is this rallying of, you need to elect this progressive legislator from a small district in a small state like Rhode Island. This is your way to fight back against white nationalists.
Yes.
In Virginia.
Yeah.
And that's, as we've been discussing for weeks, if you look at the campaign finance reports, tons, sometimes a strong majority of the financing for progressive Democrats like Governor Raimondo or Aaron Regenberg, who's just a district representative from Providence, are getting national money
yep.
from across the country, thousands and thousands of dollars. And that's because that's their strategy is they are trying to, and it works here, unfortunately.
It does.
We're one of the few remaining places in the country that is completely run by Democrats, with very little competition from the other side, politically. And that makes us, I don't know if it gives them a chance to, they can say things that people in other states can't say to attract donors, or maybe it's a sense of we have to protect our little, petri dish, Rhode Island. But that's their strategy. I hope, things like debates like you're going to be having on 1540, this evening will help people kind of see past that. But the reality is most people who vote aren't listening to debates. They're not paying attention to substantive issues that matter locally to them. Sometimes they are, but this is why presidential races always have much more participation, even in local campaigns, because people just go out to vote and they vote the way, oh, I always vote for a Democrat, so I'm just going to vote for all the Democrats. And it's a national branding, mechanism. And so that'll probably do her well. Hopefully the other candidates can get their message out there to say, hey, I'm actually concerned about you and your needs in Newport and Jamestown. Mm. But it's always an uphill battle.
Yeah, it is definitely a battle taking place in the Democrat Party, though, because the progressives, you're either all in 100% or you're on the outside looking in. You know, they are Planned Parenthood. They are raised taxes. If we're up to them, they'd have a $15 minimum wage. They're all about the paid sick leave. They certainly are organized, get out and vote, but they are a force as far as if you're not with them. And that's what we understand. You know, they are threatening Mary Ellen Goodwin that they will run a progressive against her in a primary, and they've had some success. And in the next year's election, they plan to go after Sakachi. They plan to go after Mattiello. The Democrat Party, you know, I've talked to two different Democrats that said, you know, John, my fear is not a Republican running against me. It's one of these nut progressives where they get all their money from Planned Parenthood and these outside groups and people need to understand, this is the far Bernie Sanders left. This is not the, as I say, the Joe Garrahy Democrat. This is certainly not the John Kennedy Democrat. These are the far, far left, and you're either with them or against them. There's no in-between with these people in any way. They are like a cult, what they believe, and they get out. They are educated. Ruggenberg is certainly the poster boy for them. It'd be interesting if he does make that run for lieutenant governor. Folks, he is the managing editor of OceanStateCurrent.com. He's Justin Katz. Justin, excellent as always, and we'll talk to you again.
I look forward to talking to you later.
All right, folks, there he is, Justin, who, again, you can also follow him on Twitter. It's John DePietro. It is the John DePietro Show. You can always call into the program, folks, 846-1028, 846-1028. Should the events over the weekend have any bearing on this special election that's going to take place next Tuesday? Of course it should not. Rhode Island is in any way involved. Night and day should have no bearing. But I would predict you'd never know that from the way that the Democrats are going to treat this. And this whole business of hate speech, and it's even playing out in Boston where they're trying to lump in. If you're a conservative, you're a white supremacist, and it's all the same. And, you know, Trump is the leader of it, and da-da-da. And it's they're certainly amping up the anti-Trump rhetoric. 846-1028 on this Tuesday.
It's where you live, a New England home. Give it a look that's all its own. Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
Well, it's very simple. I'll admit, I do profile. I garage door profile. You know, it's incredible the amount of people that put money into their home, into their property. Grass looks great. And then maybe you have what? Still an old garage door? Folks, go with the original. Go with the leader online at garageheadquarters.com. Hey, ask your Garage Headquarters rep about the DoorView software imaging tool, so you can see exactly what your home or business would look like with one of these brand new investment grade doors. Call them today, 877-62-GARAGE, 877-62-GARAGE.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
And backed by the best door price guarantee. It's simple, you can't buy a better door for a better price. Garage Headquarters, the leader, the number one This is about more doors, more selection, best door price value. And when you've been in business longer, better technicians, more warehouses, more trucks on the road than any other company in Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. When you want a door that matches the architecture of your house, or you need the garage door service for your home or business, don't deal with those big box stores, overpriced and used subcontractors. Call the certified professionals. Since 1973, call them today.
Garage Headquarters, 877-62-GARAGE.
It's John DePietro. This is the John DePietro Show. 846-1028 is our phone number if you'd like to call in.
The following is a summary of the general contest rules for 3G broadcasting. For contests, entry requirements will be announced on air. Winners will be determined in accordance with the criteria set forth in the on-air announcement. 3G broadcasting is not responsible for unusable entries. Station is not responsible for entries not received due to technical difficulties. Station is not responsible for any lost, disconnected, dropped, misdirected, or incomplete telephone calls. Entrants may be disqualified at the sole discretion of the station. Each contest is open to all station listeners who are legal United States citizens 18 years of age or older and who reside in the station listening area. The station shall have the right to change these eligibility requirements based on the individual contest in question. Listeners are eligible to win a contest only once every 30 days. Only one winner per household is permitted in any contest. Participants in the contest must possess valid government-issued photo identification and sign a liability release as a condition of receiving any prize. Winner must meet all eligibility requirements. Prizes will be announced within the specific contest's on-air announcement. Contest prizes are non-transferable. Winners will receive a 1099 IRS tax form if the total of all prizes won for a current year equal more than $600 in value. Prizes are limited solely to those items explicitly set forth herein and shall not include any or all other expenses, incidentals, or taxes that may arise out of the winner's receipt of this prize. Decisions of station management with respect to the contest are final. Odds of winning vary per contest. Payment of all federal, state, and local taxes are the sole responsibility of the winner. Winners will be required to sign an IRS form W-9 or the equivalent. Failure or refusal to execute the release will result in the winner forfeiting the prize. Photo identification and social security number of the grand prize winner may also be required in order to collect the prize. For internet contests, the station in its sole discretion reserves the right to disqualify any person tampering with the entry process. The station reserves the right in its sole discretion to modify the contest rules and dates at any time for any reason. No purchase is necessary. The contest is void where prohibited. Copies of the written contest rules and a list of all winners are available during regular business hours at the main studio of the radio station. 15 Dr. Marcus Wheatland Boulevard, Newport, Rhode Island, 02840.
Folks, Mega Disposal, call them today, 866-420-MEGA, 866-420-6342. Mega Disposal is a local family-owned and operated trash and recycling collection company. You know, they've been serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts for almost two decades. You own a small business, call Mega for your trash and recycling collection services. They have various sizes for state cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. How about a swing door? Provide easy loading of materials. Mega has smaller containers for local businesses or shops, emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. If you own a small business, call Mega for all your trash and recycling collection services. 866-420-MEGA. They have various sizes for state cleanouts, major construction jobs, entire households. Call Mega. Let's get a dumpster in the driveway. There's nothing more beautiful than a dumpster in the driveway. Clean it out. Throw it out. They'll help you select the right container. Call Mega Disposal. Or maybe you're a small business. You know, they have containers that can be emptied on a weekly, every other week, or monthly basis. Call Mega Disposal today. Serving Rhode Island and Massachusetts. 866-420-MEGA. 866-420-6342.
Broadcasting from the far right on your AM dial at 1540, The John DePietro Show.
And we're back on this Tuesday. Good afternoon, one and all. It's Juan. It is John DePietro. It is The John DePietro Show. Here I am, folks. Weekdays, afternoons from 1 to 5, right here, AM 1540, and it's WADK. Well, you can call in, 846-1028. We have Facebook Live. You're on Facebook. Find me on Facebook. It's John DePietro Show. Click the like button. If you share our Facebook Live, producer Rob Bennett, I'll give you a shout out. Just find us on Facebook. It's John DePietro Show. I want to mention a couple stories in the news. First of all, you know, it made national news that the Holocaust Memorial in Boston was vandalized. And now it turns out, according to the Boston Globe, a teen has been accused of vandalizing the Holocaust Memorial. Could be arraigned today. Malden teenager accused of throwing a rock through a glass panel at the New England Holocaust Memorial Monday night in Boston. Could be arraigned in juvenile court on a vandalism charge. Spokeswoman for the Suffolk District attorney, Dan Conley, said in an email she was waiting confirmation that the case will appear. According to Boston police, the 17-year-old suspect, whose name is being withheld, hurled a rock and shattered the glass shortly before 7 o'clock Monday night. Two bystanders quickly tackled him and held him until police arrived. The youth was charged with willful malicious destruction of property. Police are investigating whether he committed a hate crime. Now, he is a juvenile, but initially when this happened, there were things on Twitter saying, you know, that white supremacists were descending onto the Boston area. It's horrendous when something like that happens. It turns out it was a 17-year-old. How about according to the Woonsocket Call, things are getting hot in Woonsocket, my goodness. As Ann would say,
forget it.
The chairman of the zoning board, you hear about this story in Woonsocket? Woonsocket? The chairman of the zoning board of review is confirming Councilman Richard Fagnan allegedly made what amounts to a verbal assault against him after Monday night's council meeting, threatening to shove an umbrella up his behind and repeatedly berating him as a piece of blank as the chairman walked away from the councilman. Zoning Board Chairman Alec Leclerc said the encounter took place moments after a meeting during which Fagnan excoriated him for causing delays in a hearing for a Massachusetts businessman wants to open an indoor shooting range on River Street. Leclerc said his tirade was full of misstatements and dubious information, so he approached him after the meeting, wanted to set the record straight. He's trying to just make sure that everything is straight.
He tells a spade a spade.
Got upset with me. Started getting loud and nasty and said he was going to shove that umbrella up my behind. He was holding in his hand a foot away from my face. A retired policeman who's worked for the Woonsocket Police Department for more than 20 years. Now, this is the chairman, Alan Leclerc, served as chairman of the zoning board for the last several. Fagnan is a former alternate member of the board whose term dovetailed with that of Leclerc, but Fagnan stepped down after being elected to the city council for the first time last year, campaigning on themes of being the taxpayer's guardian and a corruption fighter. And apparently he's also, according to the story in the Woonsocket Call, he's somewhat talented with an umbrella. Shove this umbrella right up your behind, so to speak. Now, this is not good for the NFL. Seahawks Bennett to join anthem protest. Seattle Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett plans to sit during the national anthem. Here we go again. This season, a protest social injustice. Expects a backlash over an issue, quote, bigger than sport. Sat on the visiting bench during the Star-Spangled Banner before a preseason opener against the Chargers, a decision he made before the weekend protest by white supremacists at the University of Virginia. They were at UVA. The violence in Charlottesville, Virginia, including the death of a young woman struck by a car, allegedly deliberately driven in the group of counter-protesters, solidified his decision. So even though Colin Kaepernick is not in the headlines, seemingly they are going to continue to have some problems in the NFL. Now, I mentioned earlier, big story in the Providence Journal. Who said he's gone? Nope. He is back. He is ready to come back. The former St. Jean's Covenant Pawtucket, soon expected to be the new home of...
Up, down, always round. You know that.
Former House Speaker Gordon Fox, who has served just over 2 years in federal prison for accepting a $52,500 bribe and stealing $109,000 in campaign contributions. He'll be transferred from federal prison into the Neil Houston Center, Rhode Island's first halfway house for federal prison inmates transitioning from prison back into society. The Mayor Grabian said he does not know when Fox is expected to arrive. So he comes out, you watch, folks. I wouldn't worry about him. I think he'll end up getting a pretty good job. Hey, who says that the Mooch has lost his fastball? And Sunday night's Game of Thrones. Things continue to accelerate. Let's hear ABC's Jason Nathanson.
Monday night, Stephen Colbert's Late Show snagged the first late night interview with Anthony Scaramucci.
I said he was.
And it was Colbert's highest rated Monday night ever. In the early overnight ratings, he just barely missed doubling Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel's ratings. Also setting records Monday night.
What just happened?
The debut of the controversial new season of Bachelor in Paradise saw its highest rated premiere.
Jacaris.
And Sunday's Game of Thrones set a new record as the most watched episode of the series to date. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
All right, that means several things. It means, number one, the Mooch is for real. He certainly can get ratings. That helps him. Number two, Game of Thrones, Boston Globe this morning. I'll tell you in a minute. There was a very interesting piece of that story of Game of Thrones, of which I'm a huge fan. If you're not watching it, you're missing. Could be the best show ever on television. But Sunday night, boy, every week it's getting bigger and bigger. I think there's only two episodes left. But I am the Colbert thing. And Jimmy Fallon tried to do a whole serious monologue, and he got crushed in the ratings. But I'll tell you, the Game of Thrones situation is very interesting. Folks, 846-1028. I want to remind you about PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. They are Rhode Island's number one garden center, located Quaker Lane in North Kingstown, right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. And right now, they have a tremendous, you know, I saw it today for myself, hibiscus bush. You should see this thing. I mean, when it is fully in bloom, which it is, some of them are, and they're starting to more of them, it is like 12 inches in diameter. The colors are tremendous. At PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center, they also have a great selection of rows of Sharon bushes, pink, blue, purple, white. They're beautiful. They're tremendous. All locally grown. Remember, homegrown, buy local. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. It's Steve, it's Debbie, it's Junior, it's Byron. They're open 7 days a week. They're open until 5 o'clock. They are Rhode Island's number one garden center. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Stop in and see them. What a tremendous selection they have. And the thing that blows me away, and I told it to Junior, is just the incredible colors they have, folks. It'll add so much to your property. Stop in and see them, Rhode Island's number one garden center, PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. Where are they? Quaker Lane in North Kingstown. They're right next door to Allie's Tack Shop. They're down the street from Tarbox, and they're right diagonally across from Allie's Donuts. It's PR Landscape Materials and Garden Center. But make sure you check out the hibiscus bush. I mean, you should see the size of this thing. It is incredible in full bloom. All right. I'm going to, and again, if you're a Game of Thrones watcher, I could spoil something, but it was on Sunday night. Today is Tuesday. The Boston Globe there was a very important part of the whole story on Sunday night, and that was Gilly noted in the book she was reading that the High Septum issued an annulment for a Prince Rhaegar and remarried him to someone else at the same time in a secret ceremony. Is that a common thing in the South? Sam cut her off, frustrated the Masters, had time to record inane statistics. But what this really is the Prince Rhaegar she was referring to could be the Crown Prince, Rhaegar Targaryen, who allegedly abducted Lyanna Stark before impregnating her child with her with a child who last season was confirmed to be Jon Snow. Now, what that means is Jon Snow may be not the bastard child.